Welcome back to the Hawks Talk podcast. This is your source for everything about the Upper Valley Nighthawks and the NECBL. This is season 3, episode 20, season finale. I'm your host, Phoebe Winters, joined by co-hosts Caitlin Beal and Greg Fennell. Caitlin, Greg, how are you guys doing? And how does it feel to be back on Zoom?
Well, it's appropriate, first of all. And secondly, it's a good way to show that at least one of us is not suffering from withdrawal. I don't know about you guys, but
I don't know. I miss the studio. The jam studio was so nice, and Phoebe and I never got to sit on the couch for an episode. We said we're going to.
we said we were going to. We should have planned it out, getting the mic set up. I feel like we didn't say a proper goodbye to the studio. I was hoping we'd get back in for like one more episode. But like you said, it definitely feels appropriate to be back on Zoom. This is where it all started. But we're
Yeah.
also joined by two special guests. We've got two members of the 2025 intern team, Faith Capolupo and Grace Calandrala. Faith, Grace, welcome to Hawks Talk. How are you guys doing today?
Good. I'm feeling good. this is fun. I kind of wish we got to do it earlier. But I am kind of glad that we're like the last hurrah for the podcast with you guys. I don't know. It was a long season. We had so much fun, so I'm excited to like recap that and talk
Yeah,
about it.
definitely would have been fun to do it in the studio, but happy we get to end it. So that's the good part.
Yeah, I
And if
feel
you
like
guys are just listening, Grace has a full podcast set I
up right now. She's got the
do.
mic,
I
the
have a whole
headphones. She
mic.
looks very professional.
I'm ready to rumble.
See, we don't even need the podcast studio at Jam. We just need Grace's setup.
Yeah, Grace is prepared.
My chair, my corner, my headphones, my mic, everything.
Love it. But as you guys said, you guys are the final hurrah. I feel like it's only appropriate just given how much work you guys did throughout the summer. And for our listeners at home that maybe don't know, could you guys describe what your role was for the Nighthawks and kind of what that entailed?
Okay,
Yeah,
I'll go
Faith, you want
first,
to go
Grace.
first?
Yeah, I'll go first. I kind of just took pictures for the team, uploaded, edited them, gave them to the graphics guy to make, all the graphics with the win post, the game day post, the everything post. So I was part of that team, getting all the social media content out there.
I feel like I dabbled a little bit in everything besides like actually playing on the field. I was a sideline reporter at home for like I would say the first half of the summer, like the whole month of June. And then as I at the away games, I would take photos like with Faith and I would work with the creative team. So same thing she said, sending the photos in so they could do their graphics and everything. And then towards the end of the summer, I got a chance to like direct the broadcasts, and that was actually so fun. Like it was really cool to be on that end of it. So I feel like I did a little bit of everything and I learned a lot. So that
You said you
was my
got to
role.
do everything but play on the field, but you did get a chance to play on the field in the intern
I did
softball
actually. Yeah,
game.
I
So really,
did.
you've done everything.
I did. I feel like I have, honestly.
What was that intern softball game experience like for you? Do you still have your jersey?
I do. I have my jersey. I still haven't fully unpacked, so it's actually somewhere in a bag. Yeah, it was fun. It was actually really fun. I didn't think it would have such like a high turnout, like all the interns that actually did come. So obviously, like, I don't know, they probably either drive themselves or maybe they were on a bus with like the guys or the players. But yeah, really, and the energy was so there. Like, it was there. The Team North was having so much fun, even though we were getting absolutely pummeled by Team South. But it was so fun, and it was
First,
fun to see like everybody.
the
Yeah,
mishap, yeah,
yeah.
that there's
Oh,
that.
yeah, the mishap. Our shout out to our guy on our intern on North Adams.
Theo.
Theo.
He got a Theo. Shout out to Theo. I hope you're doing well. I really do. But I mean, other than that, a little mishap, it was really fun. Like, it was fun to see everybody in that aspect. And, like, the players were cheering everybody on. Like, it was kind of fun to have roles reversed in a way.
Yeah, it was so cute seeing them all like lined up on the fence and like really getting into it, really cheering on their
I know.
interns and kind of just showing their appreciation. But
Right? What was it like to call that? Like, because you were up in the booth, obviously, not, you can't really see us. So, like, what was that like?
It was a little difficult because we were relying on the Steadicam and it was kind of a lagged view. So we were like waiting, and I didn't realize that there were no walks in this game. So we were trying to figure out the counts, and I'm like, this is like ball six. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah.
Brennan and I were really doing our best, and it was a little hard to see people's names because, again, we're relying on one singular camera that's kind of moving around a lot. So we could see the energy, though, the energy from the field. And I feel like that was the most important aspect of the whole game,
Yeah, right.
that
Yeah.
everyone was having a good time.
You couldn't really even see the scoreboard either. So it just, I was like trying to text you updates, and then, yeah, a lot was going on.
Was a lot, but I mean, we made it through, and it was just fun to like call with Brendan. I hadn't gotten a chance to do that all summer. So seeing
Yeah.
him kind of in his element calling a game, that was really fun. Just bouncing off of him.
I love that.
But as we said, I mean, you guys did a lot for the team this summer. I want to take a chance to kind of go back to that first day in Vermont. What were your expectations for this internship? Did you have any like primary goals for the summer, and do you feel like you accomplished that?
I guess for me personally, yeah, it was just like kind of getting to work with a team, which I didn't get to do at school, like with a team of creatives, you could say. It was always just like a solo thing. So getting to work with other people and like understand how a team works for like uploading content, each person like having their own role is what I got to do, which I was really happy to be a part of. And it's like now that I know going forward, like getting to work into that career path. It's like each person has their own role, but you can like feed off of each other. So I was happy to get like a step into that door.
Yeah, I keep telling everybody now that I'm like home, I feel like I got a lot out of the experience. 'Cause last summer I worked with a team in the Futures League and I was the on-field host, and I feel like I was like just the on-field host. Like that was my role and that was all I did. Whereas here it was like, yeah, I was a sideline reporter, but like at the away games I got to take photos and be a part of that team, and like I was able to try different things in the broadcast side of everything. So I feel like I took a lot out of it. As for like expectations, I almost was expecting the same thing as last summer, that I was like going to be the sideline reporter and that was going to be it, and then I would move on with my summer. But I feel like I really took a lot from it, and like I learned a lot from you guys, I learned a lot from Matt, I learned a lot from just everybody that I was around. So yeah, I this is definitely one of the better experiences I've had working in sports for sure.
I feel like that was a very common theme of everyone kind of like dipping their toes in whatever they wanted, which I think was so nice, especially like right off the bat. Matt Wright was just like so vocal about wanting people to try whatever they want. And so I feel like having that expectation going in of like, I could literally ask and do whatever I want was really nice.
No, I definitely agree. I feel like from that first day when Margot asked us if we wanted to help out with the TikTok, that was so exciting. I loved doing the social media aspect of things and like just kind of get to add on to my role. I feel like there was a lot of freedom with this organization in particular to try a lot of different things. And like you said, Grace, you don't find that in a lot of places. This was very special to the Nighthawks.
Yeah, no, it definitely was. I definitely don't feel like I left the summer like I don't know, I can't say it enough. Like I definitely took something from this summer and I feel like I learned a lot. And like Faith said, like how it is to work in a team like that, and everybody does their part and it all comes together as one beautiful thing at the end of every game. So
I will say it
yeah,
was
it
really fun seeing your
was
guys's like tent, like seeing those meetings and how
nice.
like all the different little cogs work in the machine. Like you guys all collaborate on pretty much every aspect of the process, it seemed like.
It was great. Like I could say like our creative team, it was awesome. Especially having people from different, I guess, schools. It was so cool to like have like David and like Phoenix like saying like, "Hey, like maybe try to do this a little differently." And like I was able to fix it like for my personal like editing style, you could say, for taking pictures, and it helped me so much. Like it was great to just get to work with everyone.
Getting a lot of different like feedback and just getting to work with so many different people from different walks of life. I think it improved everyone's kind of content in every aspect of the field, just getting that kind of feedback and learning from different people's styles. And Grace, you kind of touched on this. You worked for a summer ball team last summer. How do you compare the Nighthawks to your team last summer?
They were vastly different. Like the experiences were completely different. Because last summer it was the Nashua Silver Knights, and I'm a little bit outside Boston, so I lived at home last summer, and it definitely is different. Like not like I saw you people every single day and for 10 hours a day, so you like really get to know everybody that you're around. Whereas like last summer, my off days, I was just going to work back at home, and I feel like I wasn't doing much or seeing much of everybody. Granted, the season is longer in the Futures League, and I want to say there's more games, but there's a lot more off days too. So it is kind of different in that aspect, but I don't know. And it may just be the team that I worked with that I kind of had different experiences, but I feel like when you fully immerse yourself in that environment and you live there and you spend all that time up there in such a short period of time, it's like you really get to know the area you're in and the people you're with and just like everything about it. So that's definitely the biggest difference. It's like actually living there compared to like living at home and traveling, I guess.
Kind of more bought into the team mentality, having to be so fully immersed into it.
Like I don't know, last summer I feel like it was getting to the end of the summer and it was like, oh, maybe we'll make the playoffs, maybe we won't. And I was more like, oh, I'm going to a concert in August, like I kind of hope we don't, like I don't know. And then it felt like this summer it was like again on that cusp of like we might make it, we might not. And I felt more like, no, I want to make it. Like as much as I'm sure all of you want to go home, like I kind of want them to make it. Like I kind of want to hang out for another week or so. I'm having a lot of fun. So I feel like that was kind of the difference. Like I feel a lot closer, like with you guys than I did with the interns and coworkers and players that I was with last summer.
And you and Faith and Brendan and David were all living in a Hotel Coolidge. You guys want to talk a little bit of that experience?
Topic.
I was
Topic.
waiting for this part to come up. Well, I mean, we'll just start off. First thing that Matt Wright said to us was, "You're in the Hotel Coolidge for the experience." And wow, it was an experience. Put it that way, you know, coming downstairs, just a bat coming at you, you know, nothing you could do more than duck and then run, but we made it.
You guys spent a
And
lot of time together too. I mean, all the drives. I know Grace was kind of Brendan's personal chauffeur for a little bit and stuff. Like, I mean, really brought you guys together.
I mean, like I said, I see people every day and like for like 10 hours a day, because it's like we're on the bus for some games, or like Faith, David, Brendan, and I were driving to all these games, so that's like 2 hours in a car with these people. Granted, sometimes the guys were pretty quiet in the back on their phones doing whatever, but it's a lot of time, and thank God I like you people, because this would have been a lot different of a summer if I didn't. But yeah, the Coolidge Faith, I'm pretty sure on day one you said there was an apple under your bed. And I was
Yeah,
like, oh my God.
there was. Like an eaten apple or.
No, it wasn't eaten. I don't know if somebody like left it as a surprise or just forgot about it and it happened to roll under the bed, but I lifted up the blanket and there's just an apple there. I was like, oh, all right, just
I thought you meant like under the bed. It was just like in the blankets.
no, like under the bed, but like the blanket was covering the side. So when I picked it up, it was just under there. In the middle, like in the middle. So
Well, better than a spider, I guess, right?
no, there
There
are a lot
were
worse
a
things you could
spider.
find
There
under
were
a
a
bed
lot
than an
of.
apple. Yeah. It could have
This
been
is
like
true.
a raccoon or something. So I'll take the
There you
apple.
go. Way to look on the
Creature.
bright side here.
Yeah.
Well,
That would have been an experience.
it's funny because we've a couple of past interns on to the podcast before the season started, and all of them brought up Hotel Coolidge. I think that's just an experience that sticks with you for the rest of your
Yeah.
life.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I would tell people like, yeah, I'm in a hotel for the summer, and they're thinking it's like a 5-star like Hilton. They're like, oh my God, like you're in a hotel. No, baby, no. Not that kind. But
No,
like it is kind of part of the experience. If you're going to Vermont, you're not going for the looks and the glamour. You're going for the nature, you're probably going camping, like, and that's kind of what it felt like, camping but indoors in a way.
feel like the
But
guys
I
kept
don't
saying the
know.
team was like the grittiest in the league. I feel like that's a pretty gritty experience. Spending the summer in the Hotel Coolidge. I think it just really helped build the culture between interns and players.
Oh my God, yeah. And apparently, you, a few years back, like they didn't have AC. And it was hot. And like in the hallway, when I would step out of my room, it's hot. Like, you know, it's hot out. So I can't even fathom my room not having AC. Like, that's where Matt, I guess, said he was going to have to draw the line if they couldn't get us ACs. Because I just can't. It really was an experience, though.
Like a rite of passage for an ad hoc intern.
Yeah, but Stevie
Right.
and Caitlin, you guys have like visited the Hotel Coolidge. Did you wish that you would have been with us?
So much.
I wish I had your host family house. That little barn. Can we talk about the little barn?
The hangar bay.
We were
Oh my
literally
God.
just gonna ask you guys favorite off day activity. So, is it coming to our house?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Coming to the house after a round of roughly 18 holes of golf.
Think we
Give or
got through
take, you were skipped.
13.
So take a few away.
Yeah. Give or take two. Yeah, definitely that barn. That was the cool. That's like what I'm gonna buy a plot of land, and that's what I'm gonna do with it. I'm gonna put that barn
That's my
photocopied
new
on my land.
retirement plan
Like,
is I need a hangar bay. That is what I need in my life.
yeah.
I mean, we really lucked out in the host family department. I feel like a
Awesome.
lot of like the players and interns that were in host families would agree. Like you get set up with like really nice families. They actually genuinely care about your well-being. Like we felt so safe. And then of course, I mean, they let us use a lot of their really cool stuff, like a golf simulator. They let us use that area to watch movies on a projector. I feel like it just really made the experience. So, I mean, as fun as it would have been to be living with you guys in the Coolidge, I think we had a much better setup.
I feel like you don't realize how nice it is to just like walk outside, like in a house and like have nature. I feel like after living in an apartment or living in a hotel, just like being able to like step outside without fully getting ready for the day, I feel like is such a luxury. So we really got lucky with them. They really like took us in, like as if we were their children. So thank you, Mark and Michelle. We really appreciate you guys.
Yeah, they were good to you guys. They were really good to you guys.
I mean, even just for my birthday, she put up like little happy birthday Phoebe balloons. I was like so touched. Just the way they treated us like actual family, like welcoming us into our home like that. And like Greg, I feel like from your experience as hosting all these players, you can agree like you really do form a bond, host families with interns and players.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you don't necessarily make lifelong relationships with everybody. Some of the guys we've had here, we've had deeper relationships with in the years after than some, but you still take away fine memories. And yeah, it's we want the people who are staying with us to be comfortable and be able to take advantage of what there is out there if they have the time and the energy to do so. And if not, well, if nothing else, we'll sit down, we'll have dinner sometime. I mean, the best thing about this whole thing in the last couple of weeks, Mason Phillips actually stayed a couple of extra days with us because he couldn't get a friend up to help him drive back to Georgia until like Wednesday of last week. So what did he do? He volunteered to help us move furniture from my mother-in-law's house to set up to bring to our house for a yard sale coming up next month. And without that, I'd probably be hunched over at the waist right now saying, oh, my aching back. So you get good relationships in all sorts of fashions doing something like this.
I feel
That's
like you
so
had a
sweet.
unique experience too of a lot of turnover. You constantly had players, but it was moving as, someone might have gotten injured or just went back home. Like you constantly had three players at a time.
Yeah, we're going to go have a meeting with the bank and get a home loan so we can build a revolving door for the front entry
Yeah.
because we had seven last year. We technically had seven again this year, although my wife wants to count Eric Santaella twice because he was here twice. So maybe it was eight. I'm not sure, but yeah, and for all sorts of circumstances, two guys transfer to bigger schools and are told they aren't going to play anymore. Eric gets sick, goes home, comes back. Somebody else comes in, stays for a week, goes home. Mason was needed for driving for the guys who were here. He comes on over. So yeah, weird stuff happens sometimes, but it's always great to have him around. And honestly, I joke about not feeling any withdrawal. Yeah, for a couple of days there is. It gets really kind of strange, not having somebody padding around upstairs, going through the process of getting rooms cleaned up or whatever. And that's when you realize how quickly this all ends, but how much fun it is for the better part of 2 months.
I know it was like whiplash. We're going, our last game is on a Sunday, right? Yeah.
It was on
It's about Saturday.
Saturday.
It was on
Yeah.
Saturday. Yeah. And then by Sunday, like in the morning, everyone is gone. It's just like crazy thinking that,
Oh, yeah.
maybe the season will continue. And then after that game, you go back, pack up, and like just leave in the morning.
I mean, my wife jokes whenever guys are getting ready to leave that they need to be prepared. They're going to get a hug that they're not going to be able to release from. And of course, she's joking the whole time, but when it all ends, I mean, it ends. It's flipping a switch because everybody's got someplace they got to be. A lot of these guys, and I think in your case, this is probably the same thing. You only have a finite amount of time from August 1st to when you have to be back in school or when you have to be on that next job. And the guys are the same way. In Mason's case, he left here on Thursday for a 2 day drive back to Georgia. His first day of school was yesterday, so he had no
Wow.
time to relax at
Oh
all.
my
And it's not uncommon.
gosh. I'm so glad my school doesn't start until after Labor Day weekend because, like, that's crazy turnaround.
Yeah, it is. Well, I mean, let me paraphrase. It's for fall workouts, not so much classes, but still. They got to be there. So that's why we see guys sometimes leave in the middle of the season because they don't want to have to go straight from summer ball to fall workouts. They want a little bit of time off. But other guys are happy to keep the commitment all the way through, like Mason was.
It was
What a
definitely,
guy.
yeah, he's really putting in the work there. I mean, I feel like that just speaks to the energy he brought to the season throughout. I mean, he was there till the end. He wanted that championship run and he was ready to win some games with the Nighthawks. But kind of talking about that turnaround, Faith, I know you had the chance to work with the Rider baseball team for a couple of years before coming up to the Nighthawks. What was kind of the experience from a collegiate baseball spring season to a summer baseball season?
It's definitely was crazy. I mean, because the guys from Rider, the freshmen came in not knowing them, but it's a couple freshmen. The other people there have known each other for a while. But for summer ball, a bunch of guys that don't know each other get thrown together. And it's like amazing from an outside perspective to watch them build that relationship so fast because you have no choice but to. You're spending the whole summer with them. So for Rider, it's great because like they all knew each other, that joking manner. But for summer ball, it's like, it's amazing just seeing their relationship grow, but also them learning to play with each other. 'Cause you're like, you got to learn like, oh, is he gonna get that ball? Or, like, am I gonna get that ball? Like, oh, like, should I steal now? Like, is he gonna like be able to get to first or something? Like, it's great just to see the change of relationships between the teams and like the team bonding and things like that. So that was like my favorite part of like from Rider to summer ball was just how fast they did it.
What was
And
it like have sorry.
then, no, you're
A couple guys from Rider coming into the summer. So you kind of had a little bit of familiarity already. You weren't going in just not knowing everyone. Did that kind of help the adjustment a bit?
Yeah, definitely it did for me because, like, when I first got there, Jack and Kyle were there. Shoot wasn't there yet, but I've known all of them. I was never really close with the three of them, but summer ball, gave me the chance to get closer with them. So, I'd get food with Kyle or I'd get food with Jack at first and just have that internship, player relationship grow as friends too, because I had no choice to. Those were like the only two guys I knew at the start. So it was pretty like nice just coming in knowing them, like knowing that I could go into the bullpen, like talk to Radetzky or like go into the dugout and like talk to Kyle really quick. So it was nice knowing people already.
How do you think that's going to translate into this next season at Rider? And are you excited to get back to Rider baseball?
Yeah, I'm definitely excited to get back to Rider baseball. It's funny because throughout the whole summer, like they were talking to me, like, "Oh, are you gonna do like this for like our team when we get back? Like, are you gonna do pictures like this like when we get back?" So it's great because everything like that I was doing here, they were like coming up to me and like saying, like, "Oh, can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this?" So it's great that I'm able to like keep that relationship still with them like into school.
That's cool that they already see like content that you worked on in the summer that they want you to bring into the writer content. What do you guys think you learned the most about yourselves as content creators throughout the summer?
I guess for me, it's that like there's always room for improvement. Like I've noticed from what I did at Rider to here, like that I've noticed that things have gotten so much better here for like my content that I've created and done. So now it's like I know that I could take what I've done here and apply it to Rider and then just keep like building on it.
Yeah, I didn't dabble too much in that just at the away games, but I like that you always have something to learn and you can always get better because I feel like I definitely learned a lot from you, Faith, and a lot from David in terms of photography. You two are very talented, and this is kind of something I'm just stepping into like for the joy of it and something fun to do. So I feel like I learned a lot from both of you in terms of like editing photos and angles of photos and things to look out for when you're getting a pregame shoot or stuff like that. Like I feel like there was a lot of tips and tricks from the both of you that I learned a lot from this summer. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that's like the best part is like learning off each other. Like getting to watch Grace and Caitlin like do the sideline reporting, it's pretty cool because like now when I go back to school, I think that I'm gonna start dabbling like doing some of that because like I got asked to about that. So I'm like, yeah, like I've
Oh God, do
seen
it.
them do it, so I was interested. Like maybe I'll do it when I get back. So it's cool getting to learn off of like each other.
Sometimes
Sometimes
it's
it's
so
so
awesome.
fun too, just like watching,
Yeah.
especially like looking over Faith and David's shoulder while they're editing, like is so entertaining to me. Like the entire bus ride to, I think, Danbury, David was editing photos and he was across the aisle from me. And I was just watching, and that was like my bus entertainment. It was so fun, just like, especially the shortcuts, because I mean, I've taken a couple like photography classes at school because they're required, but like, I'm so slow with it. So watching, like, seeing all of his keyboard shortcuts was so entertaining.
Yeah, David does it fast too. He's so good with it.
I
Same
love to
with
watch. Shout out, Margo. Sorry, shout out Margo and Elijah and Phoenix. The all three of them too with the editing. Super
Oh.
satisfying to watch, and they're just so they know what to do already. They're so quick with it, and it's, like you said, Caitlin, so entertaining to watch.
Yeah, like Margo, like doing it, like she would get that first inning and would have it uploaded like within like minutes. Like that was crazy to me how fast she worked.
I know. And it's because I started to edit my pregame interviews like towards the middle of the season, obviously, since she had so much to do. And I would take me like 20, 30 minutes just to get this little video because then I have to do the border. I take forever choosing a filter, then, of course, has to export. And she does this so fast. It's so impressive. I think seeing all of their like creative processes, like watching David put together that Migos style graphic for Oregon, or when he was working on the MLB draft jersey swap graphics, and then again seeing how quickly Margot could make edits to that love letter to Upper Valley video that she made. It was pretty incredible to see like just how talented they are, how experienced they are with all of these tools, and they were able to bring that those talents to the Nighthawks, which was just so amazing. But I mean, we've kind of touched on it. Like, this was a really long season. We had 44 games within 2 months, and we know it's a grind for the players, but it's definitely a grind for the intern staff as well. What did you guys feel like was the most challenging part of the summer?
Personally, so I like work at a coffee shop at home, and obviously a coffee shop's not opening at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, so like I would get up at 5 in the morning, be at the shop by 6:30, and that's my routine. And I go to bed at like 9 o'clock. Guess what's still going on at 9 o'clock? The eighth or ninth inning. So it's like it's a total adjustment for me, like getting home sometimes at like 1 in the morning, or Like games are ending at 10, but I'm like not feeling really tired. And like I started getting up at like 11 o'clock or noon because that's just like how the sleep schedule was going. So that was definitely an adjustment and something I'm gonna have to now adjust back to, but it's okay.
Yeah, like I agree with Grace. Like probably the toughest part was my sleep schedule was so thrown off going to sleep some because when I would take pictures, I can't not like go to sleep until I edit them. Like that's a big thing for me is I need to edit everything. So I would not go to sleep till after, and my sleep schedule was so thrown off.
I mean, yeah, I think just how different each day's schedule was. Like, if you have an away game, sometimes you're getting up to get on the bus at noon, and then you're not getting back till 1 in the morning, 2 in the morning. Especially that Martha's Vineyard trip. That was probably the
Oh
toughest.
my
That
God.
was 20 hours, like for me.
Was
And
a
I feel
fever
so bad, like.
dream. Warned you. I told you it's going to be a day.
Yeah. No, I agree with everything you guys have said, but on top of that too, like finding time to eat or having meals is just like I always just felt a little off, you know, because I'm not like getting good meals and then eating dinner at like 10:30 p.m. just doesn't like I feel like my body's just not used to that.
And I was like, you never knew what day of the week it was either. That got thrown off for me so
Oh
much.
God.
It just all was together.
That happened like way too many times where I thought it was like a Tuesday and it's Saturday. Like I just there was no track of any days going on. It was just the tomorrow we're playing here or tomorrow we're home or t like stuff like that. That's how I kept track of my days.
Think like looking
The
back
rain.
like through my camera roll and stuff or like the TikToks and I'm like, "Oh my gosh, like that happened like a week into the season." But like we were already I think so close just right off the bat. Just it was crazy how quickly everything was moving throughout the season.
Yeah.
I
It's
feel
making the
like
Ray Kerr and maple creamy for dinner diet didn't appeal to anybody
no,
except for
I
Ray.
love a maple creamy, but that's not dinner. Yeah, that was it would be a great dessert.
It was
You should
actually
get a thank
sad.
you card.
I think he deserves a thank you card from Max Maple for all the product he bought this year.
Yeah. No, when I came home, I got ice cream from my parents, and I was like, wow, this isn't a maple creamy. And I
It's
didn't
not
like
the
them at
same.
first, but then I started missing them when I came home.
It's like one of those things, like once it's gone, and that's when you start to really miss it.
Oh,
Caitlin's
maple creamy
crying.
hat. My little Night Hawks hat from Max Maple. I was thinking I could put a succulent or something in it, like just have it be. Yeah, like a cute little plant.
Yeah, exactly. I thought I was going to get a collection of all of them across the league, but I actually didn't see people selling.
No. That would have been really cool if you did.
I can't say I've seen them at any other
Yeah.
team, in all honesty.
Yeah, a lot of I was kind of surprised. I thought ice cream would be a pretty universal thing to sell, but not many places sold ice cream.
That's why you got to
Have to be
come to
unique in what
Maxfield.
fashion?
Yeah.
The Nighthawks just do it better. That's, I think, what we've learned from this conversation.
Absolutely.
Now, we had a long season and it ended on August 2nd after the Nighthawks were swept by the Keene Swamp Bats. I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about the playoff series from the entrance perspective. You know, obviously we weren't the ones on the field competing, but as we've talked about, we got pretty invested in how the team was performing. So let's just kind of start off with that first game at Alumni Field and kind of the emotions surrounding that game going into it, again, from the entrance perspective.
Think like from my perspective at least, I loved like seeing how hype they got. Like I think it was great for us showing up and like just being there in that atmosphere that like was there with how they were getting ready. Like they were all in a great mood. Like it was keen. Like of course, like they wanted to be keen. It got to end it on a high note. So it was nice going into that first game with like a hype atmosphere.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It was exciting to see like them excited because I feel like in the middle-ish of the season it was like we're just playing another game, like whatever. But towards the end when it was like, oh, we might not make it, like these are must-win games, you could kind of see that excitement building. And then once but we beat Vermont, kind of secured that spot going into Keene, it was like Okay. Playoffs is kind of rough. I mean, you always see March Madness as like a prime example. You get the one seed beating the 16th seed. Like, you never know what could happen. So they kind of went into it with more energy, a new found energy. I feel like when we played Keene the regular season, it was like, all right, yeah, we're going to play, we're going to give it a shot. But like, odds are not in our favor. So it was exciting to see them excited. I feel like halfway through the game, once I realized it was a game and like we had a good chance at that, I feel like I stopped taking pictures and stopped doing my job. I felt really invested in it too. So.
Yeah, I totally agree. Especially Phoebe and I going on the bus there. I feel like this was the first time they were like, I don't know, kind of focusing on the game more. So I mean, they were still playing Moff, but like they were playing hype music. They were definitely in the zone, and I feel like that sense of focus we hadn't really seen on other games with them.
I will say, like, even hearing just from Keane's intern staff and like their coaching staff, they walked away from that game saying, "We didn't know the Nighthawks were to come in and play like that." I mean, we had it tied 1-1 going into the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, and
I
I
mean,
also agree
even
with
like Martha's Vineyard.
Oh yeah.
That
Same
Martha's
thing.
Vineyard
So
year
I
is
kind
so
of got
fun.
away with those games. I feel like we were all just watching the game too, like, 'cause it was such good baseball from us that I feel like we hadn't been seeing a ton towards the middle of the season, because the team is rotating through a lot of different players. They're, and you're getting a little tired, but I feel like we saw a new sense of energy at
Yeah.
this game.
It was definitely interesting to watch. Like Grace said, like she put her camera down at one point. Like so did I. Like I was invested into the game. Like we were just locked into watching it, like cheering for them. Like even though we had a job to do, like just getting to watch them compete, it was awesome.
I mean, I feel like
Yeah.
even in game two, even though we were down by 7 after the first, watching them really piece together a rally like up in the booth, I was really buying into it. I was like, they could pull this off, just seeing how gritty and determined they were. I mean, Gracie, I know you were up in the booth with me, but Caitlin and Faith, you guys were down on the field. What was that like watching them compete?
I will say one person that really stood out to me was AJ. I feel like a lot of people were starting to get down, but every single time he came in from the infield, he was like clapping. He was like, "Let's go. We got this. We only need a couple more runs." Like, he was trying to bring the energy, and I feel like some of those few voices that became really loud in the dugout or the bullpen, and I feel like those really propelled we got 5 runs at the end of it. So it did feel like they were starting to piece together a comeback, like you said.
Yeah, especially being by the dugout. Like I was standing next to Caitlin for probably like from the fifth inning on. Like when they started making those runs, you could see like something in them kind of changed. Like they started getting hype. Like AJ like was leading, like he was coming off the field like hype. And you could just see like there was a change. And it was awesome to watch them like start to shift gears. And like I feel like Caitlin and I were like, we were really getting into it too. We were like buying into it. We were like, let's go, guys.
No, I feel like usually
Here's
all the games I've been keep me a very professional. I'm just there to do my job. But in these games, I don't know, something came out of me where I was like yelling and cheering.
And there was that little kid that was behind us too. We were like, no, not right now.
I know. Yeah, there are some kids, I think, because whenever there's a broken bat, the kids will swarm trying to get it. Because every once in a while, a player will just hand the bat off to a kid. But it was after, a tough out, a tough inning, and these kids are swarming, yelling, and we're like, not right now, not right now. Wait until after the game. Like, in a playoff game is not the time to be asking for the bat right now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it was kind of just the story of the entire Nighthawks season, especially like midway on, seeing them face a lot of adversity. They faced a lot of different injuries, a lot of players rotating throughout the season, but that never seemed to really bring their spirits down. I just feel like it was kind of the perfect conclusion to the season, was seeing them really try and fight their way back in that game, coming into it down by 7 runs to a team they've struggled against all season. It just felt like such a poetic end to the season. But being on the field and then Grace for you in the booth after that game too, just kind of the realization that it was the end of the Nighthawk season, what was that like for you, just being an intern and knowing that you're not coming back to work at a game three in this series?
I don't know. It was definitely sad because it was at least like Faith, David, and like Margo, she was coming with us. She left the bus and she joined the carpool at the end of the season. So it was like, if we get to play Keen one more time and get one more carpool, like we were having by the end of the season, we were having a lot of fun in our carpools. So that was honestly, that was kind of a tough one. We were like, oh man, carpool, it's over. I don't know. It was kind of bittersweet. It was like, yeah, it's over. Like I get to go home at least and like have the rest of my summer and whatever. But I don't know. It's kind of 'cause it's I like people have asked me since I've got home, like, oh, is this the thing that you're gonna like do again? And I'm like, no, it's not how it works. It's like you do this once and that's it. And I feel like that's what keeps these experiences so special is that it like it happened once and it was so great and we'll all remember it for how it was, and then that'll be that. Like I feel like if I came back and I kept coming back, then it would kind of deplete this experience. So it was kind of bittersweet knowing like this was really so much fun. Like I actually had such a blast, and but now it's over and we don't get to go to Applebee's anymore and Sawtooth and wherever we pitter-pattered our way around. So yeah, I don't know. It was a bittersweet moment.
Yeah, definitely the thought of like we had so many lasts without realizing it. Like the last time you got a maple creamy, or the last time we go to Applebee's. I mean, I guess we knew that that was going to be our last Applebee's time, but like,
Yeah.
I don't know, just all these little places. It is kind of sad to think like we thought there'd be one more day off or one more whatever. And so that was kind of a tough pill to swallow.
I feel like last bus ride, and we didn't even realize it. We thought for sure making one more trip to Alumni Field.
I really thought we were going to go back to Keene, but
I mean,
we'll
think about it from
see.
the outside
You guys
looking
get to
in.
talk about sides.
From the outside looking in, two moments decide that entire series. One pitch in the bottom of the ninth inning at Keene, one bad inning in White River Junction. That's it. They played them better for 8 innings in the second game, and they played them as well as they possibly could have down in Keene. And for a team that was 8 games under 500, I think it was a pretty satisfying way to end, even if you don't come away with a W to close it all out.
Yeah, I definitely think they should be proud of how the season ended. Obviously, it would have been nice to win, but I mean, they put up a fight and they gave Keene a run for their money. And like Phoebe said, they kind of walked away being surprised. And again, kind of coming in as an underdog, showing that grit, I feel like there's a lot of satisfaction there of then the team that you surprised won the whole thing. Like, that's pretty satisfying as well.
I mean, I
Yeah.
have to admit to feeling a sense of satisfaction that Keene won it, not just because they took out the Nighthawks in the process, but and I've said this 1,000 times over many years, it in this league or any summer ball league, it's not so much how well you play the regular season, it's how much you have left at the end in terms of personnel. And not only was Keene easily the best team in the league during the regular season, they kept enough of that talent in place so that they did go on that 6-0 run. So they were very deserving as league champions and very deserving to do so in six straight games. Some of those games were close. Some of them were absolutely academic. But they did deserve that. And I think that puts a satisfying punctuation mark on this particular season.
Absolutely. I mean, I know we were kind of keeping up with the NECBL playoffs after we'd already come home. Ripken Reese, what a dog.
Okay, from the jump when we played Keene or Keene played us first, and I heard that name over the PA, I was like, this kid's gonna be a star. Ripken Reese, a kid with that name, I better see him in the show one day
Two of
because
the great infield
that's
names in
one and
baseball
unreal
history. He's
name.
got to be good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like,
And a Maryland kid,
but
too, so you know why
he
he's named
really
Ripken.
put on a show for people.
He
Yeah,
really
I mean,
did.
it's only right. It's not like he's named Bauer. Like, he better go play baseball. But that he's really got some talent, that kid. I gotta hand it to him. He knows when to make a play. He was 0-5 in the last game and then rips a grand slam. Or like, what do we, how do we even do that?
That
But I don't
was
know. We're deserving.
they were deserving because that 0-5 performance to then hit a grand slam, that was what turned the game around in game one between the Martha's Vineyard Sharks and the Keene Swamp Bats. Then they went on to sweep the Sharks and they got the Faye Vincent Senior Cup in six games. And I mean, we talked about how dominant they were during the regular season. Did either of you predict that the Swamp Bats would be taking the cup in such a dominant fashion?
Not
Mean,
at the
I
beginning of the
guess
season, no.
no. Yeah, from the beginning of the season, no, but then they started making like that name for themselves. I guess especially like after we played them, we're like, oh, like they're pretty good. And they went on that run, so honestly, like they, like Greg said, they did deserve it. And it's best that I guess we like they ended up taking it all, not like some
Yeah.
underdog.
I don't,
I
I
definitely
definitely know the
didn't
secret
think.
is to keep everybody as much as they did. I mean, obviously they lose guys like everybody else does, but whatever that secret sauce is that they use to keep that team together, I'd like to find out what the
Right?
formula is and
Yeah.
apply it to everybody else.
Yeah, they had a lot of
Yeah.
OG guys stay still.
Yeah. I definitely didn't think they were gonna go all the way until like probably halfway through the season when they're like 10 games ahead. Because in the beginning, we were sitting at second, not far behind them. We snapped their win streak. Like, I don't know. I didn't think they were going to go all the way, but I personally, I if I'm gonna lose, I hope it's to the champions. That's,
Yeah.
I don't know. I just always hope. Then it's like, yeah, we did lose and they won everything, so I guess it doesn't look as bad.
Yeah, I will say, I mean, once they went on that 11 game winning streak, sorry, I need to plug in my laptop. Let me pause the recording. But I mean, yeah, the Keene Swamp Bats, after they went on that 11 game winning streak, I think everyone kind of clued into the fact that this was a team that wasn't going to go down quietly. I mean, even from game one in the playoff series, their entire intern staff was reiterating that message of it's cup or bust for the Swamp Bats team at that point. They had worked their butts off all season long and they had their eye on the prize. So, congratulations to the Keene Swamp Bats, the 2025 NECBL champions for the first time since 2019. It was exciting to watch how the remainder of the playoffs panned out for that team, and it was exciting to watch that first round, even though it ended up in the Nighthawks being swept, which kind of stung. But even though the Nighthawks were swept in that first round, it was their first playoff appearance in 4 years, which is pretty impressive. So, kind of building off of that, what would you guys say were your highlights from the season? And that can kind of be on-field performances, fields that we visited, and just off-field activities.
Okay, for me, definitely Cole Fellows stealing his first, getting his first successful stolen base. I think just the energy that the team gave into that was like an all-time high. Just seeing the bullpen get hype, like it was just amazing to watch from an outside perspective. I think that was a like big high.
A poor kid could not steal. There was one game, probably late June. He stole, got out, came back to the dugout and was like, "That's it, I'm done. Like, no more stealing." And he didn't until the end of the
Yeah.
season. But that was actually hysterical.
But the bullpen feeding into it for them was probably the best part
For a
too.
while, they were just like telling him to go when it was obviously a bad idea, which was so entertaining for me on the sideline because, like, obviously they're just giving him bad advice right now. And then he actually went and made it. So it worked out, I guess.
I thought, yeah, that one was
Honestly,
definitely really fun. I
one of
also
my
thought.
highs. Oh,
Oh,
go,
go ahead.
Caitlin. No, you go, Caitlin.
I was gonna say JT's three pitch inning. That's pretty
Boom. Thank you.
awesome.
That was a good one.
I got only that's my highlight as much of the fact that he was here in the house for a month, but just watching him bounce off the mound like a jackrabbit on amphetamines. He was so excited about that. And that's when you start to get the feeling that this bunch is unifying as a team, which I'm sure they were in other elements that you all saw a lot more often than I did. But just to see that level of excitement really made my summer.
Yeah, I feel like we didn't get huge reactions from anyone, especially like trying to make a hype video or anything. Like they didn't give a ton of emotion, but that was the first time where someone like really showed excitement, and I loved it, and it's still one of my favorite videos from the entire summer.
In the video where he gets so hyped coming off the mound, it's funny because he comes into the dugout like on top of the world, and he by actually knocked into the cameraman, and it's so funny because you just see Elijah get like trucked to the side from JT jumping up and down.
And I think on top of that, JT knowing that it was his last game probably also augmented that reaction as well.
Absolutely.
Nice way to sign off.
Think that was a good end to his season. I'd say
Definitely.
that one was definitely a high moment. I think maybe controversial, but Ryan Prezzano getting ejected from the game.
Then pause right after.
Yeah, pause immediately after.
And seeing Noah suit up to go in the dugout.
Okay, seeing Noah Crane manage, yeah, that's up there too for me.
Yeah, after watching him walk around Max Field with a zebra jacket on, now he has to
Yeah,
go
he should
get
have
in the
managed in a
dugout
zebra jacket.
and
That would have been
business.
so much more authentic, I think.
Yeah, that would
Speaking
have been Noah.
of different coaching, I think Bristol was a really fun game too, especially watching the first base coaching switch out every
Oh
single
my God.
inning. That was really fun.
And somebody sent, speaking of Cole, somebody sent Cole, Albiere
Jake,
sent him to
yep,
second.
Albiere, yep.
Lo and behold, he got out. Yeah, that was a fun one. It was fun to see them, like, I don't know, just have fun coaching first base. Everybody likes to do that because normally it
Briggs, you really
doesn't.
wanted to get out there too.
I did, but when I realized, I was like, I'm gonna let them have their thing out there. I'm gonna let them have fun. I don't know. I feel like I would have been yelled at or something. So
Seemed like it would be a little stressful
so
to take
grateful.
on. I think especially with how that game was going, I wouldn't know what to say to them on the side. Like, good job, keep going.
Yeah, like I
Which
don't
maybe they
know.
wouldn't. But yeah, those were definitely fun memories. I think also just watching Tyler Hemish's arc from like struggling to being really, really dominant on the mound to just being that bullpen coach for the guys. I mean, it's not just one moment, but I think that arc of his maturity and transition throughout the summer, that was one of my highlights from the summer as well.
I've heard multiple of the pitchers say like Hemish like helped them a lot. Like he was just so good at being vocal and like giving them advice. So, like him stepping up to that role too was great.
Yeah, it was such a full circle moment because he was, I think, one of the first few podcast episodes, him and Spanier. And we had touched on the fact that he had coached a little bit back in Minnesota. And if he wanted to continue, I mean, and this was before we really knew him or saw him step into this position. And he's like, yeah, of course, I would love to coach. And then really stepped into a vocal role in the bullpen, really helped Jacek adjust as well in his coaching. So very full circle for him, starting off the season saying that and then really stepping into more of a leadership role.
Yeah. I mean, I think a
Flash
lot
forward a few years,
of
we're going to see
Yeah.
Tyler Hemish coaching the UV Nighthawks.
Oh, I think we'll
We'll
see
make
it for
his
sure.
swift return.
Do not be surprised.
No, I think him, I thought Tam Burrow next summer, I had suggested to him, I was like, hey, if they don't let you play another summer, I think you got to come back as a coach. But lo and behold, he's going to be the longest tenured Nighthawk of all time coming back for a fourth summer.
He
Absolutely
literally has to be
someone's
back.
got to
He
do
has to be
it.
back to play so I can introduce him as Dr. Nick.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Is he gonna be a doctor by next summer?
No, but he'll be closer than
Doesn't
anybody
he have
ever will be in Nighthawks
2 years?
playing history.
Doesn't he have 2 more years until he gets like the doctor degree too? Yeah. And
Exactly.
he's
He's got
got
two
two
more
more
years
years of
of
eligibility.
Technically,
Yeah.
2 more years with
So
an option.
he should have his master's by the time he comes back here next summer, and that's close enough for me.
Yeah. The future
My
doctor.
God.
Yeah, no, but officially got his return offer after the last game concluded. So, fourth year.
He needs like
Fourth
a
year.
plaque or something. He needs
Genuinely.
like that man's Nighthawk, like legendary here.
Does he have a specific spot he sits in the bullpen? Maybe we could put a plaque there and said Nick sat
A
here
gold plaque.
over and over and over and over again.
Greg, he doesn't sit though. He's constantly playing hacky sack.
Oh,
He's
good
always
point.
moving
Yeah.
around.
Okay.
We should get like a golden
A
hacky
gold
sack,
hacky sack.
like statue or something.
It could be like a
That's a
little
great idea,
award they
actually.
give out at the end of every summer, the golden
Yeah,
hacky
man.
sack award. Who is
The
my
next most
God.
loyal Nighthawk.
Write this down, write this
He needs his own
down.
Instagram post too, like a dedication to Nick.
We have to make sure the next media team really understands the significance
Like
of
this
that.
man is a legend
For
around here.
real. Exactly. Absolutely.
Yeah, because I mean, I feel like us coming in, like we knew from the post, like he had been there last summer, he was coming back. I didn't realize this was his third summer with the team and he was still going.
Yep. And it's so cool, like when he's not even like pitching or in the bullpen, he's walking around doing the raffle tickets. Like he's involved with like the community.
Yeah, they do a good sell with those raffle tickets too. I will say they're very persistent. I feel like they got some good sales.
Yeah. I mean, I was normally in the booth, but I would look down and I could hear them a little bit like coming
Wow.
through
Where the
and
whole
see
thing
them.
was like, you can get a full wingspan and like I have really, really long arms, so you're getting a lot of tickets here and stuff. So he'd put his arms out. It was really entertaining.
Well, speaking of Tamboro, Caitlin and I would like to bring back one of our favorite games that we played on the podcast, which is actually the game we played with Chuck and Tamboro when they were on the podcast this season. It's called Most Likely To. So basically, we're going to give Faith and Grace a list of 10 scenarios, and you each get a chance to say who you think best fits the scenario. And we're going to open it up to be players and staff that you guys can include as your answers for these
Okay.
scenarios.
Are we doing like since day one, like everyone who's been through the team?
Like anyone from the
Okay.
entire 2025 summer, anyone you think of that best fits this scenario. All right.
Okay.
So to kick it off, the first scenario we have, who is most likely to suggest a post-game Applebee's meal?
Do we just say
Yeah.
I feel like AJ, every time we went, he was there.
Yeah, AJ
Could have
was
been a different
always there.
crowd. AJ was always at Applebee's. He ate that down. No crumbs. I
That's
feel
what the
like.
A in AJ was for.
Yeah, for
Yeah,
Apple,
I feel like
clearly.
Shuit too.
Shoot, yeah, Shoot was
Yeah,
a big Applebee's
Shoot.
guy.
Yeah.
It was Applebee's or Denny's. I feel like AJ, Shuit, and Cam were like the ringleaders of that. It was like.
Yeah,
They
right.
really?
suggested it. It was one of the
But you have
three
to
that rose.
realize that you've narrowed down the only two places that are open past 10 o'clock at night at any place
Yeah.
in the Upper Valley. So
Well,
your options are
is
limited.
that a coincidence of why they always went there?
Maybe.
No, but the three of them, I think, would go from Applebee's to Denny's most likely.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Meal at one, dessert the other.
Yeah.
All right. Next scenario. Who is most likely to drive the intern carpool?
Faith.
Both of us.
Faith
Yeah.
got the AC. No,
Oh,
Faith
yeah.
got the AC.
My
My
AC
AC, fun fact, my AC didn't work
on
all
hot
summer.
days,
And
definitely my car.
yeah, I drove our last game to
Yeah.
Valley. Yeah, the Valley Blue Sox. That was
And then we
car
ended
ride.
in Keene with my car. Yeah, we ended
So
Keene.
definitely Faith. Yeah, definitely Faith.
It
I honestly
was,
avoided it at all costs because if you couldn't tell, I have an old car that's on the verge of breaking down and the AC doesn't work. So why would we take my car when Faith has a beautiful AC working car?
yeah. It would
So.
be my car, but Grace's ox. So that's how we did it.
Yeah.
Good breakdown.
Yeah.
All right. The next scenario, who was most likely to forget either the time or the field that the game was going to be at?
I gotta think of the guys. Feel like Baylor somehow would forget like the time, or like he'd show up to the wrong field.
I mean, let me put it out there. Mason was the only one who was like significantly late to the bus ever.
Yeah. The
Did
few
sometime
times
ask
that
me
we
when the
took
games were,
the
yeah.
bus, I'm pretty sure Mason was last on the bus every single time. I am only gonna say AJ again because AJ forgot his jersey that one time,
Yes.
and
Had to play in the same color.
that is now equating to him forgetting what field and where. and what time we're playing because he forgot his jersey one time.
It was in the
Yeah, I don't
groupie
know.
message the day before. It was surprising how often they
Hey,
forgot.
right
Brooks
over.
also forgot. I feel like it was the game, the first playoff game in Keene, he forgot one of his jerseys. It's like you've got three options.
Just bring them all at that
I
point.
know. Well, I feel like some of them don't even know how to do their own laundry, so that was another battle.
Well, we know someone was struggling with their laundry, not from a lack of not knowing how to do it.
Oh.
All right,
Rachel.
next scenario. Who is most likely to participate in our TikToks?
Charlie.
Charlie.
That he ran the
Charlie,
TikTok.
day one. I'm pretty sure we had him do a fit check in the parking lot. And he
Yeah,
talked for like 5 minutes. We're like, okay. Fit check's like a maybe 30 seconds. He was like, this is my bracelet from
yes.
here. And
Well, 'cause
he was going on and on.
he had a silly band, right? So he was giving the whole
He was
backstory of
like a
like what it
$100
was,
bracelet or
where he
something.
got it. Like, there you go.
Yeah, that
Yeah,
was.
definitely Charlie.
Yeah, from day one, we knew he was a good go-to for TikTok content. But next scenario, a little flip. Who is most likely to say no to the TikToks?
Hamish.
Yeah, Amish did
Hamish
not
was
want
always like, no. It's like, okay, like, who do you think you are? He's like, no, paparazzi. Like, all right,
He wouldn't even
Tyler,
let
just answer
us
yes or
say
no.
what
No.
the TikTok idea was.
We couldn't
Like,
even
he'd just
finish
say
our
no.
question.
And then I'd be like, okay, but wait, this is what the idea was. And he'd go, ah, that's really funny. And then still no.
We got him to participate in a couple, and it was really random ones, like a bromance one.
And then
He likes
passing the
that.
phone. He did passing the phone.
Okay,
He likes
yeah.
that.
There's another one that I was surprised he's. Oh, the Helen Keller one. He liked that one.
See, it's
That's so
just so random
crazy.
when he chooses.
Yeah. And it's not like he's a quiet kid. Usually it's the quiet ones that you don't want to participate, but he definitely wasn't quiet, so I don't know why he didn't like to participate.
All right, next scenario. Who is most likely to clip farm?
Oh. Roditsky.
Yeah, Roditsky. Bradshaw. I don't know if it's necessarily considered clip farming, but every time he would catch us pointing the camera at him, big smile
They
across the
smile in the
face.
piece. He'd always do the piece.
Like, yeah, always get the piece up. We could always rely on him for just looking at the camera. You need a guy to look at the camera, it's gonna be Bradshaw.
I feel
So
like
I don't know if
Baylor,
that's
just
necessarily
solely for
clip
the
farming,
amount of
but
photo bombs he did, too.
that
Yeah.
was funny.
Oh my God, he was
Like,
everywhere.
anytime he saw a
He was
camera, he
literally
is standing
everywhere.
in the back or he's putting his face in front as close as possible as he can get to our broadcast cameras while they're on it.
And he was
There
in all those sideline
were times
reports.
when, yeah, there were times when I would catch him walking from the bullpen into the dugout, and I'm like, okay, can't use camera three because I know what he's gonna do. He's gonna step in front of the camera and stick his face in it. So I camera three is unusable till he passes, basically.
Yeah, I don't think he got into the background of many tick. He actually didn't participate in a lot of TikToks, which was surprising. Another very vocal person that just didn't really like to be on the TikToks.
Yeah,
Was the
I was trying to make a compilation of all of his photo bombs. I'm like, I know he was there so many times, but why can I not find videos of
Wasn't Kyle a big photo bomber or video bomber? I'd always see him like in the
Yes.
background of everything somehow.
There is a TikTok specifically of just him. This was just in Charlie's Takeover as well, but I had like eight videos where Kyle's just like in the background. And Charlie didn't notice the entire time. I was like, I'm like
His
laughing
own
behind
little
the
world.
camera because he's like just fully in frame. Yeah, that was a fun little video to put together, him just slowly inching his way into the background. All right. Seventh scenario we have for you guys. Who is most likely to correctly call a pizza? And if you guys want to debrief the audience on what that means.
So
Okay.
you could explain it, Grace. You're probably
Okay. So pizza, we actually learned from David. Shout out David. You call pizza when you think whoever's at the plate is going to hit a home run, and you call it, like, I would say faith pizza. So if, I don't know, Prez is at the plate and he hits a home run, then Faith has to now buy me a whole pizza because I called it correctly. So we started playing that when David showed up, and David taught us what pizza was.
And
Who
no
would
one
guess it
successfully.
correctly?
Yeah, I would
Oh.
imagine you didn't spend a whole lot of money on
Yeah.
that
No, unfortunately, no
No,
one
they the whole
successfully.
pizza.
So it's just for home runs. I thought you guys occasionally would like call other specific things that were
Oh,
gonna
well, we would do a we made
Oh,
up a different game
that
called. We call it like the three-legger, where you'd have to
three-legger.
call three plays in a row, and if you got all three, like you'd be like, oh, like you'd, I don't know, if we're batting, or like AJ single down the left side, Cole Fellows walk, Kyle bunt or something like that, just something random, whatever you'd call. If you get like all three correct, then whatever you like call it on, then the person has to buy you something of your choosing within like a reasonable amount. But
Do
you
they
know,
all have
obviously,
to happen in the same like inning, or could it just be like throughout the game? Oh,
same
that's way
inning.
more
Like, it had to
difficult.
be back to back to back.
Ugh.
Like, but you could do like the other team's up at bat and there's already two outs. You could be like, all right, fly out. And then going into the bottom of the seventh inning, I think AJ's gonna get a double, or I think Cole's gonna, I don't know, walk, like you said. Like, it could go on, but that one, I think our highest was two in a row, maybe
Yeah.
three. That one was a tricky one.
But I think out of the
It's like betting
interns,
without the money.
David probably would have called the pizza correct. He's just
Yeah.
gassing him.
Oh my God. David would call you from across the field on the phone and you'd be like, pizza.
Then just hang
Hey,
up.
David. All right. Yeah. And then just hang up. No other words.
No,
Pizza.
nothing.
And then he'd hang up the phone. But yeah, probably David. Honestly, sneaky Elijah. I think Elijah would also call pizza correctly, but nobody ever did, so it's all
Yeah.
hypothetical.
I feel like David, I would agree with. All right. Next scenario. Who is most likely to end up on SportsCenter Top 10 highlight?
Nick Moneal. He did.
Yeah, shout out Nick O'Neill because he did.
What about an intern?
Margo. I think it's just
Margo. Margo.
something.
Margo, I'm not undermining her athletic abilities, but I think it would, even though that's like why you get on, because you're athletic and you do something cool, but she would just get on for she would get on for doing something athletic as the videographer,
Yeah, like
like
for dodging the
foul
ball.
ball or something. Yeah, like she would not get on because she played in the intern softball game. She would get on because she did something as a videographer.
Like
But
when
definitely Margot, hands
she
down.
got hit at the Mountaineers' home field, and then that's why you guys weren't allowed on the field anymore.
Yeah, and then
They
we
had to rewrite
weren't
the
allowed on
rules
the field.
because of Margo.
Yeah,
Sorry, guys, we
yeah.
changed the rule book.
Sorry.
Actually, not we. Margo changed the rule book.
Change the rule book.
Margot.
Right. Second to last scenario, we have most likely to bring either the best seeds or just the best snacks in general to the field.
Charlie. Easy. He'd
Was gonna
always
say
grub
Nick
for food.
Schuett.
Shuit did. He was a big sharer too. Shuit did share his food.
Yeah. That last game in Valley, I took his entire bag of seeds and ate all of them. So
And he was
thank
asking
you,
usually, like, oh,
Shuit,
can I have
for
some
those.
of his
Yeah, he
own
was like, can I
bag?
have the seeds? So yeah,
Weird sharing.
yeah, kid's a big sharer, I guess, but yeah, Nick Schuett and the Taco Bell seeds.
I think Charlie, because he'd always grub up food. He was smart with it.
My God, can we talk about him grub-hubbing the pizza
That was so smart.
from Martha's
Oh my gosh.
Vineyard?
That took so much
Impeccable
planning.
timing.
I think he said his aunt brought the pizza.
No,
I thought he grab-hubbed it.
he DoorDashed it from Cumbie's.
Wired.
Yeah. And
Somebody
got it.
DoorDash
He
something.
got it delivered. He timed it up perfectly so that way we would end up at the dock when his pizza was getting delivered.
Oh, when we went back?
Yeah, on our way back, on our way
But in the
back.
bullpen.
Not, yeah, no. No,
When did he
no.
get pizza in the bullpen?
That's when his aunt
That
brought him.
same game.
Oh,
His
that's all right.
aunt brought him pizza
Called
for the
pizza.
game. Yep, he
Called pizza.
yeah.
And he got one.
I didn't know that he ordered it for when we got back. That's crazy.
Yeah.
He broke it down in his podcast episode with Tam Burrow.
Wow.
Was called episode 18. Final push if you want to go back. We talk about his DoorDash abilities
Yeah,
when he
and I
breaks it
watched
down.
Inside Scoop.
I watched some of that podcast, but not for the pizza.
It was
You'll
more
have to
towards the end.
sort through a lot of it, so be
Well,
patient.
yeah, I mean, after you listen to us talking about water for like 10 minutes, if you're still around, we appreciate it.
I'll be stuck there for a while listening to that
How's the
one.
longest pod? Yeah, no, we've officially set the record. This is the longest one by far.
We gave Chuck and Tamboro a run for their money. I feel like they're going to be kind of disappointed in
Yeah.
themselves for not yapping longer.
They could have. They could have. All right. Last scenario. Who is most likely to become a lifelong Nighthawk?
Easy. Nick
Come
Tamboro.
on. You don't
Yeah,
even have to think
Tam.
about one.
He's getting a
Tam.
plaque. Yeah, he's going to
Tam's
get
got it on lock.
a plaque. He's going to be tough to beat. I don't think anyone else has as much loyalty and love for the Upper Valley.
Yeah.
And
No.
also eligibility. I mean, he has so many
Yeah.
years left, really.
Yeah. I mean,
I
God
respect the
forbid
hustle.
something happened next spring and he loses a year to an arm injury or something. We could be talking about a guy who'd be getting Social Security by the time he's done with us.
You'll be older than the coaches at that point.
Yeah. They'll have to call him, sir.
Yeah.
Then he'll really make it to the doctor.
Yeah. I
No,
want to see Dr. Tamboro back up here next June.
I'm waiting for
Even if
him
he's
to
not
make the
really a doctor.
transition. I'm waiting for him to make the transition to coach for the Nighthawks. I think it'll be a long time before we see the last of Nick Tamboro in the Upper Valley.
Or just become the GM. Like, just
He could.
give him that
True.
role. Give him that role.
Right.
Speaking of Caitlin.
Yeah. We were just going to talk about this actually. So great segue here. You guys may have heard General Manager Matt Wright is decided to step down after 6 years leading this team. You know, he accomplished a lot in this role. The team has grown so much. I mean, we're one of the younger teams, the NACBL, and to think that in only 9 years since we started, we hosted the All-Star game this year, and a lot of that is due to Matt's hard work. And he also grew the team from only five interns in 2019 to this year, 34 staff members, which was the largest staff in the NACBL. So I kind of want to open the floor for you guys to talk a little bit about what it was like working with Matt this season.
Honestly, it was great. Like coming into the team, I guess just not really knowing like what kind of like I've talked to Matt briefly before coming in, but like not really knowing what kind of GM like I'm getting myself into. Just right off the bat, seeing like he's a nice, great guy. Didn't ask for much, and like if he asked for something, like hey, like I need this, this, and this, it's like you do it because he doesn't ask for much, and it's a great guy. Like, I'm so happy that he got to end his year, and like, I was one of the staff working for him. So I'm happy I got to be part of his last year.
Yeah. Fun fact, actually. So the Futures League team I interned for, Matt actually also interned for years ago. So like coming into that, I was like, oh, okay, we have something to talk about. Like, I don't know, something we can share. But I didn't know anything about him, obviously. So like going into it, it was like you kind of have one or the other in terms of a GM. And he was great. He super chill, like Faith said, he wouldn't ask for much. So when he did, it was like, yeah, we have to do it. Let's do it. I mean, we would do it anyway, but he really didn't ask for much, and you could tell he genuinely cared for everybody there. He always made sure we were good in terms of like us interns, like with the food gift cards, like all that kind of stuff. He always made sure we were fed. He made sure we were comfortable, having a good time. I'm really glad we got to spend our last year with him, because you can also see how much he cares about the Upper Valley and that team. So it was kind of nice to spend the last year with him. It really was.
Yeah, I
Every well-run organization, you will usually find at least one person in the background who does a lot of the work, but doesn't necessarily go out and seek public credit for it. And I think Matt is that person. He makes doing the PA simple for me because he trusts me. It's a lot more formal doing the announcement for Dartmouth, because when you go to a Dartmouth game, everything is set to clockwork because it has to be on webcast, or it has to be on broadcast of some sort. You start at 58, the first pitch is at 05. You got to get all your work done in between. He just tells me, gives me my list of readables that I should do, don't necessarily have to, but should, and then just lets me set the tone for when the game has to get started. And I'm sure he works that way with everybody else. I know that he took a lot of pride in the All-Star game. I know this is something that he really wanted to get done for the Upper Valley. And although I couldn't be there for the actual day of the game because of the postponement, I could tell from watching from a distance and watching it online that it was going very smoothly. And that is a tribute to Matt Wright and the job that he did. So I'm happy for him that he went out on a high note. That the big project that he really wanted to have, he got, and he handled it very well.
Yeah, I definitely agree with what all you guys are saying about the trust he put in us, which is something I haven't really experienced in a past job of I feel like there's a lot of almost micromanaging in what you're doing and there with every step of the process, but it's really nice how he's like, you guys know more about broadcasting than I do, and just kind of gave us free rein with it. Obviously, we had certain requirements that were across the league, but besides that, we really had the opportunity to make it our own, do what we want with different camera shots, with different graphics. And that was really nice that, like, he trusted us. And I mean, he was the one who really helped put this team together. So he knew our abilities, he knew our backgrounds, and knew that together we could create a great broadcast.
Yeah, I think also unique to, yeah, I was the director of the broadcast and working with him since October. He told me, like, I had the freedom to really choose who I wanted to bring on with this team, and just knowing that he trusted me enough to bring together such a talented group. I mean, he would send me people's reels, like Caitlin especially was one of the first ones he sent to me, and we both agreed, like, yeah, she seems really great at what she does. She would be a really good addition. And then from that point, having her as my right wing and my right hand man, and like to be able to find the talented group we did, getting to interview Grace and bring her on, getting to interview Brendan and bring him on, and I'm sure Mario would agree as well, as going out and finding that team of creatives to bring on, it showed that he really trusted our opinion as, individuals. He knew that we knew how to do what we did. And so knowing that he had that trust in us to bring together a good team, and then just having him to really support and be like that backbone of the organization to turn to when we needed.
And I could always turn to him to talk about Noah Kahan, which we chatted about him a lot. But there are plans right now for succession. None of this is public, so we're not sure what's necessarily going to happen. But we're very excited to see what Matt does in the future. I know he's getting married this year, so congratulations in the fall. So hope that goes well. But yeah, now there's another season done. What about you, Greg? Like, do you start prepping for the next season at this point?
No, not really. What I look forward to actually is when Thanksgiving rolls around, some of the college teams start to get their schedules out for the upcoming spring. And then I get to start to compare schedules and see where there's a possibility of taking a road trip to seeing some of these guys. Last year was easy. Last spring was easy because we had so many people at Southern Miss. It was, find a Southern Miss game that's reasonably close to New England, which of course, doesn't exist, but still being able to go to see them play in North Carolina was great. Here we're going to have a guy this coming season. We're going to have a guy in Phoenix. We're going to have a guy at SEMO. We're going to have a guy at Pace. We're going to have holdovers at BC and Southern Miss and OD. They're going to be all over the place. I think I'm just going to sell the house and get an RV and travel the country next spring and just catch up with all these guys. And what happens after that, I have no idea. we don't, my wife and I don't really have to worry about anything until May rolls around. So it's more fun being able to watch what these guys do when they're at their colleges. Obviously, 99% of it remotely, but on that rare occasion, we might get a chance to go see them. It's great. I'm already looking forward to and have talked with both Will Harrigan and Cole Fellows. Looking forward to seeing them come up here and play Dartmouth in April. It'll be mid to late April. I'm going to make sure I've got the PA job that entire weekend, and we're going to have a lot of fun. Just being able to catch up with those guys and see them in their natural environs, as opposed to something like this.
Yeah, that's definitely an interesting point because I know, especially for you, Faith, like people are so much more relaxed in the summer. And I know you kind of touched on like how these Rider guys almost were like completely different people this summer because there's so much more pressure in the school year versus the summer.
Yeah, it definitely was great to like see them kind of take a step back and just enjoy it. Like it's a game, you know. Obviously it gets intense, but like it was nice to just see them like step back and just play and have fun.
Yeah, definitely. Well, before we round out that episode, I just kind of wanted to highlight some off the field milestones from our staff, from our intern team this summer that people might not understand because there's a lot of work that went behind the scenes with our broadcast, game day, creative, stats, everyone. And I honestly, like, we had a lot of success this season. So obviously there was the All-Star game, which was a huge milestone, and a lot went into that from everyone's part. And kind of like I mentioned, the largest intern crew in the entire NECBL with 34 staff members. Our broadcast was expanded this year. We got all new equipment and had a 5-camera setup. And we also were on ESPN Plus for the first time. We also added a new syndication with a platform called Unbeaten, which now can be watched on Amazon Prime. Margot created this amazing end of season video that Noah Kahan actually reposted on Instagram. So now it has over 300,000 views and 6,000 likes. And on the Instagram, gained over 500 new followers during the season, 872,000 views in the last month, and 23,000 interactions, so likes and comments. And then our TikTok, which Phoebe and I spearheaded this season, in the last 60 days, we got 342,000 views, 23,000 likes, and 342 new followers. Had a couple of viral videos, which was really fun.
There's one that's still climbing in views,
I know, I
the
know. That's why I was like,
pronunciation.
it's hard to find these stats because they're still growing right now, actually. And then our graphic designer, Phoenix, he created all the templates from our graphics from scratch this season, created at least 100 graphics across social media from all of the lineups to post game, and he also made the banners for the All-Star game. So, just kind of wanted to highlight this, and obviously, such an amazing team to work with all summer. Everyone is super, super talented.
I hope you
Absolutely.
get the chance to talk to whomever moves in to your positions next year and that they're able to continue to farm this Noah Kahan connection. Somebody had talked to me about this last year. I don't know if I told any of you the story, but Cal Culpepper's girlfriend, Cal, was supposed to be on the roster this year, couldn't make it because of a transfer, but he was with the team for a month last year, and his girlfriend came up for 1 weekend. And we were heading off to, I think we were road tripping to a ball game with them, and Noah became the topic. She was talking about taking a long road trip from Hattiesburg to Charleston, South Carolina, to see him in a concert. And I just kind of offhandedly said that, oh, you know what? I think I covered some of his soccer games once at Hanover High. And talk about getting gigantic eyes. All of a sudden, it was like, what? And hence went into the explanation that he's from this area. Somebody's told me, you know, we need to get a hold of him on Facebook and try to convince him to come here and do the national anthem. So, whatever you do, if you ever get a chance to talk to whoever comes here next year, work that Noah Kahan connection and let's get him here to do the national anthem. Just don't tell anybody it's going to happen, or else you're going to have to
Yeah.
find an extra field to park the cars.
I know a lot of the talks I had with Matt Wright were actually because for the All-Star game, there were talks with his team of him coming and being kind of the first pitch, maybe singing the anthem or something. But unfortunately, that fell through. Because I know like he's just a guy in Vermont, of course, and people know him, but like you still have to go through all the hoops of his team, his management, his record company. So hopefully next year will be the year.
Well,
Hopefully.
he likes his sports. I mean, he played soccer here at Hanover High School. He is, I believe, a member over at Montcalm Golf Club. I just saw the other day that he's donated a signed guitar for an auction that they're doing for some adoption fundraiser, I believe, at Montcalm. And obviously, he likes his baseball. So keep helping people work that. Keep growing that seed. Let's see if we can sprout something out of it in the near future.
Yeah. It's funny, like my dad will be like, why don't you just like DM him? Or like, why don't you just like message him and ask for a job or something? I'm like, only is that easy.
Yeah, really.
Well,
Otherwise, none of us would be here right
exactly. Yeah.
now.
Well, hopefully whoever takes over the reins for Matt Wright can work that connection a little bit. And I'm excited to see how this team of interns and players and just this organization as a whole continues to grow in the years to come. But before we close out, there are two questions that we have been asking each guest on the podcast to answer. So we can't let you guys go without getting your thoughts on these. Faith, Grace, what makes the Upper Valley so special?
Personally, I think being away from it all, sorry, it's so dark in my room now, but being like away, I'm gonna be up in the middle of Vermont. Like, I live 20 minutes from Boston, so my Friday and Saturday nights look like Boston. I'm in the city, I'm having fun. And like that's my kind of fun, going out to the bars with my friends and everything. So I was like, oh God, I'm gonna be up in the mountains. But I think honestly it was like being away from the city, being up in like nature. And it sounds like kind of stupid to say, but like kind of checking out of that reality for me. And just I don't know. It was definitely different. Like, it's not, I went to like Fairfield, which is an hour away from New York City. So, just kind of getting away from that life and like moving a little bit slower, and that's okay. Like, I don't know. That's kind of what made it so special for me, and like how close you get with these people. Like I said earlier, I feel really close with you guys, and I feel like you're people that I'll hopefully see again one day. And we can rejoice again about the 2025 Nighthawk season. But yeah, I think that's what made it so special. It's just like kind of checking out from the city life and checking into like the more nature side. And being so close to Vermont, it's something I've never really gotten to do. So that's what made it so special for me.
Yeah, I agree with Grace. Like, it's basically you have no choice. Like, it's either you make the most of it or you just sit in your room in the Hotel Coolidge all day doing nothing. It's like you have no choice but to become close to everyone. And that's what makes it so special. It's like, becoming, known as the locals at Sawtooth and Murphy's, going to Applebee's after the games. It's those moments that make the Upper Valley Nighthawks special. You get thrown together with people you've never met before. And you just got to make the most of it.
All right. And then if you guys could describe the Nighthawks in one word, what would that word be?
Oh my God.
Oh, I'm like stumped. Can't think of anything. I guess
I know.
Well, maybe like two words or like a phrase or something even.
The Nighthawk.
Out of twice in first time.
Okay, stumped. Oh, wait, no, stumped is what I am right now.
It's hard to group everything that just happened in such a packed 2 months into a little phrase, but
It's like an experience, you got to live it to know what we mean.
yeah. I guess unique, I would say. It which kind of plays off of Faith's. Like, you kind of just have to live it to understand it. And I feel like that doesn't go the same. From what I heard, of other players that I knew from last year in this league this year. Like, I don't, it didn't sound like it was the same as it was for us up in the Upper Valley. So definitely unique. It was a unique experience.
I think my favorite answer to that question was family. Like, oh, that's so sweet.
There. It's
I
right
forget
there.
who said that. It was one of the guys.
I want to say it was Santi that said family.
Oh.
I think so. Yeah, I feel like we heard family. We heard gritty a lot. Just fun, I think.
Community.
Yeah.
It's interesting to hear that it's Santi who's the one who said that, because here's a guy who's only here for a week and a half, 2 weeks tops, at
Yeah.
the end of the
How long? Because to me, I can't grasp things only being a week or two. Like, they were here for
I
months. Was he
know.
not here the whole season? Was
I
it?
think he was there all of July.
Yeah, like at the start
Yeah, he was there
of
for
the year.
July.
He was there when we went to Fenway.
Yeah, that was his
Yeah.
first day.
So I
Yeah,
think he
that
was
was like
there the
his
whole month of
first week,
July.
maybe two and a half, 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah, or even
Lose
like
track also.
I shout out Joey Dwyer. He was had the most stolen bases in D3 college baseball. I saw
Yeah.
that. I was like, oh my gosh, like he was
Gracie.
there and then he was gone.
Gracie, join the MAC. He's going to St. Peter's.
Yeah, welcome to Mac.
Welcome to the MAC.
Good old Mac.
I gotta say, I coming into this, I didn't know much about the Mac, but
God, there's so many of them from
everybody and their mother plays with the
everyone
Mac.
came from the MAC. The MAC has taken over, Grace, I'm telling you. It
I'm gonna have to keep up
is
with it this
long live.
season. I have to keep watching.
That's
I
where
gotta
everybody's
keep up with
at.
college baseball now.
Baseball. Yeah, and
I
I'm
know.
invested. No, I'm excited to like actually
Actually,
keep up with how they do.
how they do. I
Watch
don't think
like as their journey continues. Like Mateo mentioned that High Point is playing Florida this season at Florida. So I was like, okay, so I'm gonna be there with a giant poster for Mateo Wells and
I'm
Charlie
bad.
Jones.
Obviously.
Obviously, I have to.
Yeah, you gotta support them.
Yeah, I think, I mean, just working summer baseball last summer and just seeing how like some of those guys got drafted this year, like that was so exciting to watch. So I'm excited to see everyone from the 2025 Nighthawks continue their journey. I mean, like Cam's in the Cape right now, and that's exciting watching his team go to the championships.
Yeah, shout out Cam. He had a few offers coming in at the end of the season. Like he had one from Oregon. He had, I think, one from Minnesota. Or somebody reached out to him, so maybe we'll see him, Spanier Tyler.
The
Maybe he'll
Florida
play for them
Phenom.
again.
I hope so. I mean, Cam was my biggest surprise because obviously where
Same.
we're located, we don't have a deep pool of talent of high school guys from Vermont, New Hampshire that fill this roster like you can do down in Newport or you can do down in Martha's or at Valley or something like that. So to see a kid come from this area and do as well as he did this year is very gratifying. I mean, the Boardman name you run across a lot in high school sports around here, either Oxbow High and Bradford. I think there were relations who played at a few other schools around here. And knowing, of course, that he did most of his prep stuff down at Vermont Academy, still, when you're from this area, I get parochial right off the bat. So it's neat to see somebody from Bradford come in from a D3 school and play as well as he did and get that Cape opportunity at the end as well. So I'm interested to see where he goes from here.
Absolutely. All right. Well, I think with that's going to conclude season 3, episode 20 of the Hawks Talk podcast season finale. Huge thank you to Faith Capolupo and Grace Calandrella for joining us and recording our longest ever episode.
So
Thank
much
you.
to chat about.
We had a
Yeah.
lot to chat about. There was a lot to
Yeah.
cover.
Thank
We haven't
you
even
for
gotten
having us.
into fantasy football, so
Oh, yeah. Don't just wait
that's
till
another episode, season
Yeah.
4.
Yeah. That's how we're going to open season four.
Three and a
Or
half
when Grace
episode one.
starts her new podcast.
Yeah. When Grace does
Yeah.
hers,
When I
you'll
start
see.
my new podcast,
We can be the first guest.
you guys can all come on.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, thank you to everyone for tuning into this episode, especially if you've made it this far. Caitlin, Greg, and I had a ton of fun on the podcast this season. I want to thank Caitlin Beal and Greg for joining me on the podcast. I'm Phoebe Winters, and this has been the Hawks Talk Podcast.